It's Tuesday, 15th of September. It's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Nikki.
Hello.
And Puce.
Hello.
I'm hosting for the first time in ages, and I'm bored of hosting. Nikki, you take over.
So what we did to get Ace back to a point where Ace was able to actually host the podcast was we had to sacrifice Rhodes to the internet god. So Rhodes is gone. But Rhodes will come back, we hope.
Assuming he can find the end of the string that we left down the hole.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that deep a hole, to be fair.
Because I'm not supposed to eat the string.
Oh, I may have forgot to mention that. We also didn't give him any food, so...
Anyway, as well as the usual nonsense, we've got some news topics to talk about and a main topic regarding something that's happening at time of recording tomorrow. At time of listening, it may have already happened. I don't rule your life. I can't tell you when you should listen to this podcast, but you should listen live in my house. But what's everyone been up to this past week? Nikki, take us away.
Hello. It might get a bit crowded if we all come and listen in your house, and I'm not too sure if that keeps up with social distancing rules, but hey, you do you. As for what I've been playing this week, the usual. If you're a regular listener, you know, Animal Crossing, Azur Lane, Destiny 2, kind of the usual MacGuffins that I kind of put a few hours into here and there. Azur Lane added a character called Hunter that's basically looks like the Bloodborne default Hunter. I got my dates confused. I thought it was next month. Turns out it was this month, and the event ends tomorrow. So, not going to have that ship, which is a little bit disappointing because it's cool. Question why she has a dog with her, though, considering they're at sea.
Drop some premium currency on it.
You can't. This event specifically, this is kind of a weird event, actually, because the requisite for this event is literally just play a particular stage 60 times. Normally there's like, earn enough points, do this, do that. This one's just like, nah, just grind this level 60 times and we'll give you the character. But I just don't have enough time to do it. That's fine. Some more Control. Very, very slowly getting through that game because I keep getting distracted by photo mode and side content. And it's quite spooky. And more Final Fantasy 14, more Fortnite, more Vermintide. I need to like expand. Maybe that's my goal for this week, is maybe play something other than the usual, six or seven games I play. I am tempted to go back to Zelda, I must be honest. I never finished Breath of the Wild, and I'm kind of tempted to restart it. but yeah, nothing really major this week. Destiny 2 is kind of, time is running out until the new expansion drops in November, and they remove loads of content. And we've spoken about this quite a bit before, and I've mentioned before as well that as we get closer and closer to that actually happening, it's sinking in more that like, oh, they're deleting two expansions worth of content that I paid for. Oh. So still, yeah, a little bit on the fence with Destiny at the minute. I'm kind of just working my way through the current season pass, but yeah, I don't know how I feel anymore.
Well, it's free to play now, so you should be happy.
Oh, there you go then. Is that why I'm enjoying Fortnite so much?
I mean, I don't know why anyone enjoys Fortnite, so that could be a reason.
There you go. But yeah, that's me, really. Nothing much to report.
Okay. Puce, what about yourself?
I've mostly been playing Avengers still. I've been going in every day to try and earn my faction rewards for the day. And been doing a few missions here and there. I've even played with you a couple of times, which has been fun. I'm still not sure how I feel about the multiplayer portion of that game, as in the content that's there. I'm getting to the point where my power level has let me do some of the higher tier stuff. So I've unlocked the hives now, which are basically multi-floor events, where you have to eliminate all enemies on each floor. Oh, well, you have to complete an objective on each floor. Usually it's either clear out enemies or do one of the other objectives, like capture points, that kind of thing. But you've got multiple floors to do it on. And And for doing those, you get a guaranteed reward at the end of a certain quality. They're quite fun. I'm not really sure how long that stuff would stay fun for, if that's all the only in-game activity that there is. We know that they're adding mega hives, which I imagine are souped-up versions of that with more floors, and there's kind of like an elimination aspect to those ones where if you play them solo, and as your hero gets defeated, they get knocked out of your team. So and then once all your team's eliminated, that's the end of your run. But it again, with that, it depends on how they mix it up and what the modifiers are like and things like that. But I still love the core combat loop. It still feels good to play. So I'm enjoying going in still every day and doing that. Other than Avengers, I've been playing quite a lot of Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning, which I've been reviewing. The review should be up on the site in the next few days. As a remaster, it's quite light on touch-ups, but the game itself is still a lot of fun to play. It's still a really, really good game, and if you skipped out on it last gen, it's definitely worth a revisit or a visit if you missed it.
You sent me a few screenshots, and I'll admit I could not tell one from the other.
Yeah, there are texture updates and other slight visual touches, like you'll notice the shadows and lighting are different in places. But unless you've got them side by side, and like even if you have, sometimes they're so subtle, the changes. There are a few gameplay changes under the hood, but it's a shame they didn't touch up the UI, especially because the gear menus and things like that in that game are decidedly last gen. They're really clunky. They could have done with an overhaul, but as a game, it's still a really, really good fun game. And if you, like I say, if you've never played it last gen, it's definitely worth a look now. As for PC owners, if you already own the 2012 version and it still runs fine, there isn't really much of a reason to upgrade unless you really like Kingdoms of Amalur and want the few gameplay changes that there are. But yeah, it's an odd one. It's definitely probably the lightest remaster that THQ Nordic have done with the IPs they've acquired, especially compared to something like the Red Faction remaster and the Darksiders ones as well. They were quite substantial, the changes there. It's nowhere near that the level of changes they made to those games.
It sounds like it's not even the level of updates that they gave Saints Row 3 remastered.
Yeah, it's definitely nowhere near on that scale. The visual side of the Saints Row 3 remaster was kind of crazy. But yeah, it's a shame because it would have been nice to have a few more obvious visual upgrades. But it still looks nice. The art style in that is still holds up quite well, but yeah, it's just a little bit disappointed in that regard. But it doesn't affect the game as a whole. It's still a good game, but yeah.
Myself, the usual Star Trek Online, trying to get a little walker thing. I think it's a little
one. That, yes.
Yes, you're trying to do that as well. The mission that you have to do, what was it 14 times to get the walker, includes fighting some of the walkers, including an absolutely massive one, and I just really want to unlock the massive one and go into battle with it instead of against it. Simpsons Tapped Out, the Millhouse event is ending tomorrow. I've completed all the tiers of that, so I have the cool Millhouse and Millhouse in a suit and his granddad and I don't know. Dauntless, working my way. Well, I reached the end of the mini hunt pass, which I think ended today, tomorrow, something like that. But yeah, I managed to bash out the last four tiers of that the other day. Not the best outfits that it unlocked, but yeah, I like to unlock everything. Data Live, Spirit Pledge, still playing that. Not as much as I was, because I was playing that quite a bit when it first came out, but now it's just I'll go in, do the dailies, maybe do a couple of levels, and that's about it, which isn't a good sign. It's probably going to get deleted in a few weeks unless I get back into it properly. Noita, I haven't been playing much of that either. I think I played it once this week, but since it was a gaming session, not just a in and out, and it does get mentioned on the podcast. As Puce mentioned, Marvel's Avengers, started playing that, and yeah, it's pretty good. I've played multiplayer with one random, because Puce was unavailable, and a couple of sessions with Puce in multiplayer. It turns out you can only use the characters that the other person has unlocked. So since, for instance, I don't have Black Widow, Puce can't be Black Widow in matches with me.
Which is actually kind of like that it keeps the integrity of the person's story mode that you're joining, so you're not potentially ruining anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say I do like that. But unfortunately, there's very few multiplayer levels in the campaign.
Yeah, once you finish off that the final capstone mission and join the multiplayer portion of it, there's lots more blobs to go and do. But yeah, I did find that was quite an interesting thing. I wasn't expecting that when I joined your game, and it said because the person you're joining hasn't unlocked all characters, your selection is limited. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I don't know how, because visually when you select characters, do you see all the characters? I can't remember.
I just see the three characters.
You don't even see all the slots, do you? That's right. Yeah. Yeah, so it does keep the integrity intact, which is quite nice. I'll do like that.
I'm less than 9 hours into it, and I have 19 out of 50 achievements. Oh, that's something I thought was hilarious. Right at the start of the game, you're playing as Kamala. You have to collect some comic books to be given access to an elevator to continue the story. You must get these comics. You must go on the elevator. According to the Steam achievements, 1% more of players have the go on the lift achievement than the collect the comic book achievement. How is that possible?
Yeah, that was crazy when you pointed that out to me. It's like, I don't understand.
It's not possible to go on the elevator without collecting the comics first. I wonder if there's still no, I can't see that anymore. But the last game I've been playing this past week, someone mentioned it on Twitter. Wafer, he's been on podcast as a guest before. He's a modder, amongst other things. But yeah, that's how I became his acquaintance. So he mentioned Sonic Unleashed on Twitter, and I thought, oh, I've got a copy of Sonic Unleashed. I've got an Xbox One. It's backwards compatible. So I've been playing Sonic Unleashed, and it does not hold up. Collision detection is awful, and it's a 3D platformer. Collision is like the only thing it needs to do. Keeps slipping off of platforms and not grabbing things. And I think I was saying to Puce that the reason we don't think fondly of Sonic Unleashed isn't because of the Werehog. It's because the design of those levels is terrible. And
it's just bad.
And the way that the Sonic as the Werehog moves is lumbering. So you tap the stick forward to move, to just scooch forward. He takes two steps. I've tried this multiple times. Right? I just edge underneath this thing that I want to double jump to? Nope. Now I'm on the other side. Turn around and scooch. No. Nope. Okay, I'll go in a circle and I just want to pick up that emblem. I forget what the emblems are for, but I need to collect these emblems. Also, I think it's kind of racist.
Whoa, hang on, what?
I mean, Italy is like Spagonia.
Oh.
And I forget what quote-unquote African country is called, but everyone's living in huts and wearing tribal attire. And if it's not racist, it's skimming the border.
Oh dear.
But that leads us into our first news story. in a way, kind of. Ubisoft had their second Ubisoft Forward this past week. And before the first one, a couple of months ago, they received, all these stories came out about stories of abuse and HR not doing anything about reports of abuse and all this. And people were rightly annoyed that the Ubisoft Forward didn't mention this at all. Their reason given was that it's too close. It happened too close to the video because obviously it's a digital event. Too close to the video going up, so they couldn't add anything in. So eyes were on Ubisoft coming up to the Ubisoft Forward number 2, especially given the Tom Clancy mobile game thing that we've previously talked about. And about 5 hours before the Ubisoft Forward, they tweeted a video of the Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot. He apologized for the company's toxic culture, and it was about 4 minutes long, and saying, yes, they've got to do better, people have been fired, and they're going to make sure that nothing like the Black Lives Matter fist going into the that game happens again. And yeah. But again, Ubisoft came out and said, yeah, it's a bit too close to the Ubisoft Forward, so we're going to add it to the VOD, but it's not going up live. So their Twitter, with its thousands of followers, got to see this video, but the Ubisoft Forward, with its millions of viewers, didn't get to see it, unless you decided to wait until afterwards and catch up on the VOD the next day or something.
So, a comparison that everyone's been making about this, and it's a right comparison to make, is Bungie, when they did their stream for the reveal of Beyond Light, the new expansion. It was around the time that, obviously, the Black Lives Matter movement was most prominent in social media, so I would say. It's still ongoing. I want to stress that out. It's, you know, just because your feed has quieted down doesn't mean that it's stopped. It wasn't a phase. It's ongoing. But anyway, they started the presentation with I forget the exact amount of time, but it was 8 minutes something. It was the amount of time that the individual was there with a police officer's knee on their neck. And they made everyone watching the stream sit there for that moment of silence whilst information, charities, etc. went across the screen in complete silence. They added that to the start of their most hyped presentation of the year. And then proceeded to spend even more time talking about how the company themselves and, like, you know, they were trying to make a difference and et cetera, et cetera. So Bungie did it really well. They turned around and said, no, we're going to do this thing, and they did it. Ubisoft's all like, it's kind of a bit like that. Ubisoft, come on. In fact, Jeff Keighley actually responded to one of the tweet of them saying that, oh, yeah, it'll be in the VOD, being like, come on. Literally, that's the tweet. He just says, come on. Because it's ludicrous that, you know, this Ubisoft, one of the biggest companies in the world, gaming companies in the world, is basically half-assing their apology. The apology video itself is terrible. It's really bad. It's obvious that he's reading from a script and trying to be careful of his words, but it comes across so fake. And it's all well and good Ubisoft saying that, you know, we're going to make a difference, we're going to try and sort things out. It's like, these things have been ongoing for years now, and you haven't done anything. The only reason you're doing it now is because it's publicly come out, and people are starting to give you shit on you as a company. And, you know, it's... The other thing as well is, like, they were saying, like, one of the things they said is that they're going to put $1 million towards creating opportunities for underrepresented groups in its graduate program. Sure, that's great, but people started to focus on that, like, oh, they're doing this great thing. It's like, yeah, that's one thing. That doesn't fix the problem. That doesn't make up for all the pain that people have had to go through. It you know, one right does not correct years of wrongs. Frankly, Ubisoft have massively dropped the ball on this one. And their apology it's not an apology. They're trying to save face, and it's just not good. And I really hope people continue to shit on them because they deserve it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not a sincere apology. It's just them trying to save face and just distract. Say, look, we're doing this instead. It's fine. It's like, oh, no, because you're still ignoring the initial issue and you've still not really dealt with it at all in any meaningful way. You've not even really said what it is that you've done.
Exactly. And also, just FYI, your presentation was crap. It was really boring. Like, there was nothing in the Ubisoft Forward event that was actually interesting that we didn't already know. But if Ubisoft, like, the first Ubisoft Forward event had done what Bungie had done, they'd come forward and said, all right, this has happened. We're going to fucking get on this. It still wouldn't have been good, but it would have been much better. The fact that they've, like, tried to jump through hoops and, you know, do it in a PR way and save face for a good few weeks now is just unacceptable, you know? As I said before, shame on you, Ubisoft.
Or from a company doing things badly to a company doing things right, cloud gaming is now available on the Xbox Game Pass Android app. If you have a Game Pass Ultimate subscription, you can now play more than 150 games on your mobile device, sorry, your Android mobile device, through the app, so long as you have a Bluetooth controller or a controller attached via USB cable. You can play Golf with Friends or Halo 5, Halo Wars, No Man's Sky, Power Rangers, Battle for the Grid. I'm not reading all 150 up.
Oh, I was waiting for you to go through all 150.
Alphabetically, go.
Yakuza Kiwami 2, Yakuza Kiwami, Yakuza 0.
Hang on. We said alphabetically.
You didn't say forwards in alphabetical order. You did do it backwards in alphabetical order.
All right. No, I was like, no, he's messing with us. I've just scrolled to the bottom of the list. No, he is correct. That is. Continue.
Xeno Crisis, Worms. No, I'm not reading all these. Just 7 minutes of me reading the list.
It's like that is it Looney Tunes sketch? It was Animaniacs, wasn't it, where he reads all the countries? Yeah.
Blair, Witch, Carrie, and Daisy D, blah.
I think we've mentioned before this is cool. This is essentially Stadia, but actually working. I've not had a chance to try it, but you two have. Titles.
It's Stadia with more titles.
More titles at launch, and it offers... Stadia is just streaming, whereas this is just kind of like, hey, you know that thing you're already paying money for? Do you want another cool thing? And it's just like, okay.
Yeah, Microsoft's really redeemed themselves since the Xbox One announcements and launch.
You mean the old TV, TV, TV?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how consumer-friendly a lot of their initiatives are at the moment. I mean, it's like you say, it's a pretty impressive U-turn from the Xbox One announcement originally to where they are today. It'll just be interesting to see how it carries on. And Sony have got a lot of catching up to do with regards to their approach to how they get things into people's hands and the decisions they're making with regards to working with other people. I mean, who would have thought that that Minecraft would allow Xbox Live logins on Switch so that Minecraft and similar can all work interoperable with each other. It's kind of insane that that's a thing that's happened. And everyone remembers Sony dragging the feet and going, oh no, crossplay can't happen, until the Rocket League devs accidentally enabled it across all systems. And then it's like, well, actually, it can work on PS4. Sony are just not wanting it. So it's just an interesting about turn compared to the start of the generation when Sony were seen as the good guys with the whole use games thing. And it's fascinating.
Yes, it's also become increasingly clear that Sony don't want to be the good guys because they censor nudity very heavily instead of moderately. Anyway, later this year, you are also going to be able to play some of the, quote, some of the best EA Play games. They're going to be available for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members to play on Android devices via the cloud at no additional charge. We don't know whether that means they're coming to Game Pass Ultimate on the Xbox One and PC. I would assume not, given the wording, but...
From what we know, EA Play is actually merging. It is actually becoming part of the Ultimate Pass as a thing. The EA Play Basic is going to be included.
So I can continue to not play EA games.
Exactly, yeah. You can continue to ignore Mass Effect 3 and Andromeda.
But for free now? Wait. Exactly. No, now I have to pay a subscription fee to ignore EA games. God damn it.
And that's, there you go. They've got you. You're going to have to drop Xbox Game Pass. Sorry, just Game Pass now.
No, the name is still Xbox Game Pass. The imagery. They've dropped the word Xbox. Instead, it's just the Xbox symbol.
Xbox, can you...
It is still officially Xbox Game Pass.
Xbox, you're doing good. I love you right now. But whoever is naming your products, can you just get... Can we get some consistency? Yeah, just give them a slap. However much coffee they've had, tone it down. Maybe, get some low-fat milk. I don't know. But, come on. This is getting... Fucking Xbox Series S, X, Game Pass, X Game Pass. Fucking, they might as well just release the console and call it literally just straight up the Sex Box, and it's just an Xbox with a dildo stuck on top of it. They charge $600 for it. People would still buy it. Heck, I'd be interested.
Well, you may notice that I backtracked when I said mobile devices and said specifically it's Android devices. That's because. iOS still doesn't want Game Pass as is. They have said that they want they're happy for companies to submit Game Pass style apps as a catalog. However, each individual game will have to be submitted as a separate app to go through their verification process. So you'd have to load up your Game Pass app, tap on Forza, then it would install the Forza app so that it could stream Forza to your iOS device, in theory. Microsoft have said no. Quote from The Verge, courtesy of a Microsoft spokesperson. This remains a bad experience for customers. Gamers want to jump directly into a game from their curated catalog within one app, just like they do with movies or songs, and not be forced to download over 100 apps to play individual games from the cloud. It goes on, but it's interesting that they state like they do with movies or songs, because Spotify and Disney Plus and Netflix, they don't have to do this. They don't have to say, right, well, here's 120 episodes of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air you have to download individual apps for. It's just, here's the Netflix app. Now you can watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Sorry, Nicky.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's like something I always like to remind myself and others. is because a lot of people have been screaming at Apple being like, oh, you're being anti-gamer. Like, Apple have never cared for games. Like, no. From day one, they have never cared about games. And, like, except for the Apple Arcade, because they get all the money. But this is the thing with Apple, is Apple, they work with people to a point, and then they make their own version, and then they just don't give a shit about anyone else. And right now, like, you know, the Fortnite thing's still ongoing as well, and, like, Apple just don't care. Like, they're still making trillions, and they just don't care.
Peace.
I've got nothing to add to Apple don't care. That's true.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's
not true. Don't care.
Absolutely.
They don't love you.
I find it fascinating that they're seemingly holding like the apps like Stadia and the xCloud app to this other standard that they don't other things. But that's the Apple way. They've always kind of been like this. And I mean, the Epic situation is a little bit different because Epic's kind of dug that themselves, and it's kind of, I mean, neither company are necessarily in the right in that whole thing. But in this case, it just comes across as Apple being petty and petulant and just saying, well, no, we just don't want you to do it. So we'll do this so it looks like we're kind of meeting you halfway, but we're not really. We don't really want them on our store. And it's up to customers to kick up a fuss and get Apple to change their mind, basically.
Can you get Steam Link on iOS? Because I know at first...
At first you couldn't, so I don't know if that's changed. Actually, that's a good point.
But yes, back to the subject of money. As part of Apple's terms and conditions, quote unquote, that they'd of course demand a 30% cut of in-app purchases. So if you're playing Destiny 2, then Apple want a cut of your microtransactions.
It's really weird because, like, in a way, it doesn't make sense for Apple to be doing this, other than obviously to get more money through the microtransactions. But if it's, let's just, for example, let's take Game Pass, or sorry, xCloud, and they say, okay, we're going to put 50 games on there, single player games, no, there's not a single in-app purchase. Apple is still going to be like, yep, cool, separate apps, separate QA, separate verification. And it's like, what?
Yeah, it's just an unnecessary extra step. And it does look like Steam Link is on iOS, so their argument is even more invalid.
That's really weird. It's also bizarre because... I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, no, it's gone. Nope, it's completely left. I was going to make another point about the whole... Oh, no, that was it. Sorry. Yes, people might not remember or may remember that there was, along with all of this, the other week Apple turned around, removed WordPress off the iOS store and said, you need to put in-app purchases in it. And they were like, what? No, fuck off. And then they eventually let them back on, being like, all right, you don't have to put in-app purchases in. But WordPress were just there like, what the fuck? So it's not just gaming. Apple are just randomly like attacking apps. Excuse me, sorry, my throat went then. Just randomly attacking apps and saying, like, you need to put in-app purchases in or we'll remove you from the App Store.
Even in your free app that's got no in-app purchases, and there's no obvious reason for this to even be a thing.
Meanwhile, the Game Pass app is available on, like, 4 different Android stores, so that's nice.
There's also 2 versions on Google Play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one gives you a white app icon, the other gives you a green app icon. They both appear to be the exact same thing.
I'm going to have a look right now.
I've downloaded both of them, and also the one from the Galaxy store, because I have a Samsung device.
So you've got triple power.
So searching Xbox on the Play Store, the first few things that come up are Xbox Game Streaming, in brackets Preview, Xbox Game Pass, and then Xbox Game Pass Beta, which is the white app icon. Not entirely too sure what the difference is between the normal one and the beta, but cool.
There's also an Xbox app.
There's also an Xbox Beta app.
For God's sake.
And then you've got, oh, wait, that's not official. Then, of course, you've got things like Steam Link and PS4 Remote Play. Apparently, there's an NVIDIA GeForce Now app as well. So, oh my gosh. And the second I scroll any further than the official Xbox app, Google Play is just like, hey, here's some anime trash. We know what you're here for.
We know you too well.
Oh, shit, Yu-Gi-Oh!
We've lost her. She's going in.
Bye, Grincast.
Well, while she's looking at them anime titties, we'll talk about Sony. It's been reported that by Bloomberg that Sony have cut the initial production orders of the PlayStation 5 by 4 million units. The report is apparently that they've decided to cut down to 11 million due to unsteady production yield of the console's custom-designed system-on-chip. Bloomberg have cited people familiar with the matter. I'll spoil the ending. Sony have come out and said to gamesindustry.biz that while we do not release details related to manufacturing, the information provided by Bloomberg is false. We have not changed the production number for PlayStation 5 since the start of mass production. So the cynic in me says that they saw the price of the Xbox Series X and Series S and thought, well, we can't compete with that. We won't compete with that. So we'll cut down projections and, okay, 11 million units and start mass production. And then this has come out. And so Sony can say honestly, oh, well, we haven't changed since the start of mass production, which was 2 days ago. But let's not say that.
So I would be interested to know, like, I mean, obviously Sony's saying, no, we haven't, but we you know, who knows? I'd be interesting to know how this works because from personal experience of having worked on consumer drones count as electronics. You know, the way the ordering for that works is at least, and again, this is just personal experience. You don't necessarily pay per unit of factory time. The way it worked with those was that you essentially go to the factory and say, hey, I want to make X number. And then they go, cool, that would take us 4 weeks. So you pay for 4 weeks of factory time. And then obviously all your components get delivered to the factory because the actual assembly line usually is separate. And I wonder if it's a similar setup to this, like, because if they were to say, actually, we're going to cut it down to 7 million rather than 11 million or whatever, would they actually be saving anything? I don't know. Because if you turn around to a factory and say, oh, actually, we've changed our mind, we're only going to use you for half the time we said, well, that's the factory that loses out, not you. So I would be curious to know how it works for like these larger scale products. But yeah, I doubt they've, I mean, they've said they haven't. I doubt they have. They're probably keeping the same production. I mean, they'll just slow down the sort of next quarter's manufacturing numbers to make up for any loss, I would assume. If there is any.
And that's the end of that news story.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to like kill it. Just...
I just can't think of anything else to add. Really, it's an odd one. I mean, like you say, the cynic in you thinks, well, it's due to Microsoft pricing, and they've just sort of panic moded and gone, oh well, we'll just make less. But like Nikki says, it's unlikely that they would reschedule like that amount on the production end, just because, like she says, it's it wouldn't really affect Sony necessarily. So it does seem an odd thing, but they've still not actually announced a price. You'd think that this would be a priority at this point, because Microsoft are opening pre-orders for the Series S and X next week. Sony are going to be losing out if they don't reveal what their plan is going forward. Sharpish, because people are making decisions now.
Also, okay. Sorry, I was gonna say one final thing on this. I swear that, like, literally yesterday, I saw an article saying that Sony is air freighting their shipments of consoles rather than container freighting to meet the demand. So, for anyone who's... Okay, all right, let me break things down for you. For anyone who's unfamiliar, typically most products are made in China, that's a fact, because it's cheap. It's cheap to make things in China. But then how do you keep the price down when you need to get that thing to, you know, the distribution warehouse in, I don't know, Manchester? Well, the cheap option is you stick it all in a container, you stick it on a boat, and the boat takes 6 weeks to get here. No, seriously, 6 weeks. So that's like a logistical nightmare. If you do it air freight, however, you can be anywhere in the world within 24 hours. It's why if you order something from overseas and choose like the DPD or, 24-hour, 48-hour delivery, you suddenly get a massive like bill later on from customs. Anyway, I wonder, maybe have led to this. Because at this point, this news story is just speculation. Maybe someone went, oh, well, if air freighting is what they're going to do, which costs more, then maybe they're going to reduce the number to make up for that cost. But then that still makes no sense because there is no demand because we don't know how much the console is. Also, and citing people close to the source, that could literally be Timmy's granddad who works at Nintendo at this point. Like, no one fucking knows.
Brian at the end of the street said.
My mate Dan had this dream that they're only going to make two PS5s, so it must be true.
Well, I had a dream about the next DSX game, and it was a VR game, and I actually wrote about it for the site. You should check that out. Let's use this as an opportunity to talk about what's happening tomorrow. As I hinted at the start of the podcast, there is going to be a PlayStation 5 event
showcase.
Yeah, tomorrow. So since obviously we're recording not tomorrow, what's everyone's thoughts on what they're going to talk about? Are they going to reveal the price? Is it going to be a complete surprise until the midnight openings where everyone gets COVID?
It's okay. So similar to the last showcase they did, that all they've said is that they're going to showcase, you know, titles from first and third party developers for the PS5. But obviously the last showcase, in the middle of it, they gave us a very small tease of the UI and the system software, and then at the end they revealed what the console looks like. So going on the same format, it would make sense to reveal the price and the pre-order date at the same time during this one. Considering as well that Microsoft just did a tweet, like they didn't even do, they just literally went, there you go. That's it. I would really hope that they reveal the price, because at this point, like, we're coming up to nearly 2 weeks post Xbox prices. Every single day that they don't have a price, that is a potential lost customer who is going to pre-order an Xbox. But then there's a situation of price. And in the article that you linked in regards to that report of consumer, the amount being produced, apparently... Bloomberg, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
thank you. Apparently one of the intelligence analysts claims that the disc tray version of the PS5 will be $450 and the digital edition will be as low as $399. If we took that as a literal price conversion, that implies that, you know, it'll be cheaper than the Xbox Series X, but it'll be more expensive than the Xbox Series S. The Xbox Series S at $250 UK pricing is a steal, straight up. I can't see Sony going as low as that, and I've been thinking about this for a while now, and we spoke about it last week, and that is probably because obviously the Xbox Series S is different hardware. As far as we're aware, the PS5 is exactly the same, just without a disc tray, so I can't see it going any lower than £350 Great British Pounds. And I can see the one with the disc tray being as... I could see them go to $399. But then at that point, I would argue that they're selling at a loss. So I don't think Sony can win at this point. Because even if they'll be cheaper than the Series X, but no matter what they do, they're going to be more expensive than the S. And as far as the sort of general average consumer is concerned, they will have, quote, lost.
I'd just like to say the name of the Bloomberg intelligence analyst, because I know you cannot. Masahiro Wakatsuki.
Look, I am tired and dyslexic.
I know. I'm not having a go at you. I'm just giving
bullying credit. Me again.
I'm giving credit to the person.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really hard to see how Sony can beat the S. It just can't. There is no way with the two SKUs being basically the same internal machine, just one literally being driverless, whereas the S has got the advantage of not needing as powerful a graphics card to a GPU to hit the frame rate and specs for a 1080p display. It's a weird situation that Sony probably should have anticipated, because there's been rumors of the second Xbox design for such a long time. It's like going back to almost as long as there were rumors of a new Xbox coming. It's kind of insane that all they did was basically say, yeah, we can rip the disk drive out that and knock £50 off the price, which is probably roughly what they're going to do. It's a weird situation. I don't really see how they can compete. And like you say, in the minds of most average consumers, they'll have lost because of the price differences, and at least until the first refresh when they can reduce costs somewhat. I don't see how they can really compete.
Yeah, something I mentioned earlier in our sort of like our Discord chat is Xbox have already said, sorry, Microsoft, no, Xbox. Xbox have already said that they're going to support the Xbox One for at least another 2 years. Like, there's not going to be any series exclusives until for 2 years. So if you've just bought the Xbox One X, Jesus, this is getting confusing. If you've got the 4K Xbox One, there's kind of no point to upgrade until maybe 2 years. But if you've got the Xbox One S, then yeah, why not? You may as well. But with the PS4, I'm kind of like, well, if Sony's going to have the same approach, I'm not seeing any, like, and I've said before that there's nothing they've announced that makes me think, ooh, that is a day one game. I need to get that. I need to play that day one. Nothing has sparked that joy. And again, a lot of games, at least on the Microsoft side, are going to be on PC as well, so I'm fine there. But on the PlayStation side, I'm kind of like, well, my PS4 is still good. I only got a Pro a year ago whenever Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. That was a bloody mistake, but anyway. I'm never going to let that down. I'm never going to let down how disappointed I was in Kingdom Hearts 3 to the point where I bought the fucking limited edition console because I was that excited, and then Square Enix murdered my childhood. But that's not what I'm here to complain about. What I'm here to complain about is the fact that, like, this generation, no matter how you look at it, is going to start slow because there's just no point. Unless you just don't have a current console and you're coming in blind, in which case you're going to have a fantastic choice of essentially free consoles, if we count the S and X as two separate consoles. Like, it's a really good time. And with the financing options we've discussed and with Game Pass, like, logically it makes sense to go for Xbox. It just if you can afford to pay what I think is essentially £30 a month, get the X, get Game Pass Ultimate, you're gonna have EA Play, you've now suddenly got like 250 games on a 4K console, treat yourself to a 4K display at the same time, why not? You're sorted for the next 2-3 years minimum. Fuck, I think I'm getting converted to Xbox.
Right, well, I'll move to more towards what the main topic is, what's going to be announced. I think we're going to get a new Sonic game, because we haven't really heard anything from Sega in a while, and Sonic Forces came out in 2017. It felt completely like it was missing the end because the main villain just disappeared after the final boss battle. It was confirmed at South by Southwest last year that Sonic Team are working on a new Sonic title, but that's the last thing we heard.
Isn't it also Sonic's like 30th anniversary this year? Or next year?
I think it's next year, yeah.
Sonic okay. Unleashed 2.
Yeah, do it.
I'd be happy with a Sonic All-Stars collection.
No, that sounds too much like the Mario collection. Can't have that.
Yeah, but it'd have good... Okay.
it would have Sonic 1, it would miss 2, 3 and Knuckles, and then have Sonic Adventure 2 without 1.
Yeah, actually.
I mean it'd have a good soundtrack.
Miss out all the important games and unsold. I'll buy your collection. As for announcements, I don't really know. I mean, at this point, I would be surprised if we don't hear rumblings of God of War 2. Because it's been a while since the original God of War. Well, the reboot, not the original, obviously. Because we don't really know what they're working on. So that would be interesting. Sucker Punch have obviously just released Ghost of Tsushima, so I would be very doubtful if we saw a new Infamous, but they might have another team that has been working on that in the background, for all we know. I would love to see a new Infamous, to be honest. I can't launch
a PlayStation without an Infamous.
Yeah.
True. I don't know. I can't think of any games that I can just imagine they would pull out of a hat and be like, ta-da!
I mean, if Spider-Man Miles Morales wasn't Spider-Man Miles Morales, but was Spider-Man 2 as in a full-fledged game rather than...
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 : Miles Morales.
Yeah, that would have got me excited. But as good as I'm sure the Miles Morales game will be, it's not enough to pull me in day one to PS5. I can still wait. Which makes me sad because I absolutely adored the original Marvel Spider-Man. I thought it was a great game. But for some reason, I'm not sure what it is even. I think it's just because I know that it's not a full game, in quotes. I mean, I'm sure there'll be plenty of gameplay there, but it's kind of got that stigma now as being an expand alone.
I'll tell you what, Sony, if you want to win me over tomorrow, come on stage, your little virtual event, come on stage. Announce Gravity Rush 3.
Yes.
Freedom Wars 2. Basically, can you just announce every single Vita game that was fucking amazing and underrated and just be like, boom, PS5 remasters, ground up sequels. Just the PS5 is now the Vita, but good.
Dave, don't say but good. The Vita was great.
I love the Vita.
I would say just cancel PS5 and announce Vita 2 and I'm sold. I'll be there. Yeah.
Or just partner with Nintendo. Good. Put these games on Switch or something. I just give me the Vita games back. They were so good.
They're going to come on the stage. Here's the PlayStation 5. Here's some games. And by the way, here's the PlayStation 4.5. And it's just a Vita.
Nothing's changed. It is literally just like leftover Vitas they had. They've just like stuck a sticker on the box.
And a PlayStation 4 inside.
But right, going back, talking about all this streaming, Vita, remote play, had it for years, it's fucking great. It's one of the best things that you could ever do, and everyone always forgets about it, including me until about 5 seconds ago. But this is legitimately Sony's problem, and has been for many years now. They come up with fantastic products. The Vita was a fantastic product, way ahead of its time. It came out a few years too early. And they've done this before. Not that 3D really ever took off, but like 3D TVs, when they bought those out. Like Sony just, they come out with these great products. They always bring them out at the wrong time. So maybe that's why they're being a little bit slow on the PS5, which is funny because on the PS4, they jumped the gun and it paid off. And, you know, Microsoft was just kind of crap this generation until now.
No, I'd love a dedicated handheld to make a resurgence. The Vita was such a good piece of hardware that it was such a shame that it got dealt an unfair deck of cards, a hand of cards, because it was so underutilized. I mean, the few games that were like tech showcases for it, just didn't have the audience, which is such a shame. Cram the power of a PS4 in a handheld and crikey.
Hey, there's rumors of a 4K Switch, so why not a 4K Vita?
As much as I'm saying, yeah, I'm not really feeling the PlayStation 5, they've not mentioned any titles that I want. I don't have PlayStation Plus and haven't for like two, 3 years now. if they announced a Vita 2, I would be legitimately excited for that.
I absolutely would, yeah.
Be amazing.
But they won't.
No, because they hate me. Specifically me.
They hate money at this point.
Yeah.
And they hate animated ears. That brings us to the end of our podcast. And that might be the episode title. I don't know yet. Thanks for joining me, Nikki and Puce. You can find us on Twitter at @error_Nikki and at Puce. And you can find myself on at Ace Lister. Tweet at us, but don't tweet abuse at us, please. Especially me. You'll hurt my fifis.
Fifis.
Of course, don't forget to check out GameGrin.com. Keep an eye on wherever social media is posted. Just search for GameGrin for all the latest news, reviews, and more. Thank you for listening and for subscribing across Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere else. Don't forget that leaving a review, comment, or follow really helps the show out. And while you're at it, game on.